Hey, what's up, guys? It's me again, Brendan at Evoke Bike. Check out this ride comment. Hey, man, body felt really good today. I've been getting really good long sleeps in all weekend. Those high torque, low RPM intervals last week really helped with muscle recruitment. I think I can feel more of my body going into each pedal stroke, even at higher cadences. My power was really good today. He had set a 4-hour PR, not even really trying on an endurance ride last weekend. So he made the comment, I was thinking about going for another 4-hour PR. I managed to snag a 7-minute 30-second K1 climb in the first 2 hours, which I probably shouldn't have gone for, but I probably paid the price in the later half of this ride. I managed to hold on for a 5-hour PR, and I'm quite surprised this was possible for me this season. I'm at the end of a 3-day block, the day after a pretty big ride, and the last block of a successful 3-week training block. I thought numbers like this were at least another year away from me. Thanks for helping me get here. So this is the reason I'm reading this, and I'm just going to stop giving the disclaimer. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I am proud when athletes crush things like this. This was his third week of training in the block. He almost set a lifetime PR on his 20-minute test. We found out some good information about him on some like race winning slash. There's almost like a lactate clearance type interval, but he's got some work to do on that. But this was almost 1,000 TSS week. It was his second biggest training week ever, and we're going into a rest week. So for him to crush this ride, you know, my comment back was it's almost race season. So I like seeing that 8-minute KOM attempt in there rather than just going after these super long, kind of arbitrary personal PRs. You know, I think there's a podcast way back talking about a guy that I made the mistake, and I learned as a coach, letting someone chase a very random 2-hour power PR. They wanted to do X watts for 2 hours, and I was inquiring why, and he just really wanted to do it, and I obliged. And then when he told me all the races he was going to do were going to be crits that year instead, I was like, that's probably, I mean, you've been doing these really long things. I kind of was assuming we were doing road races again. I learned a lot as a coach there, trying to help keep people focused on, you know, you can't do everything. So you want to chase this random 2-hour thing and then turn around and do crits all summer. It's not really matching things up. But back to this guy, the things that I wanted to highlight were sleep had been an issue just because of work, some other like body stress. He has some low back pain. Definitely put him onto some Lactigo. For sleep, he does take some of the, I don't know if he uses real mushrooms, but he's into mushroom supplements. And so getting sleep is so important. I really, high torque intervals have been great for me. I've only used them for about 2 years in season. I used to do them as muscle tension intervals in the pre-race season, but for big diesels, for anyone really trying to recruit some of the fast twitch fibers to work aerobically and you're riding these, you can ride them. A lot of people will prescribe this at about 95% FTP, or even, you know, start at 90%, or even just start doing low cadence 55 to 70 RPM and see where the power lies. For myself, I was seeing that I was able to push these up to 100 and sometimes a little over that FTP percentage. And so I allow athletes to ride harder. The point of doing high torque is you can get more time up around FTP without, and it's, I don't want to say simulates, since you're pulling in those fast twitch fibers to work aerobically, you're basically getting the effect of spending more time at that zone. But I really have found it beneficial for me more, the real life application is that then it gives me another gear when I'm actually trying to ride that hard. Said differently, if I'm trying to pin it at FTP in a race or going off the front or whatever it might be, when I have that extra gear to like shift down and mash a little bit, it just seems to change up like the muscle firing or the muscle groups or whatever. It's very beneficial for me in that aspect. So other athletes are seeing that, and he even made the comment that it seems to help him at higher cadences. So go after the KOM climb. I like that. And he crushed this ride. He had very little zone one time, 6.7%. 47% endurance, 34% tempo, and then like 8% threshold, and just 3.5% VO2 max and anaerobic capacity. So never really went hard. To hit a 5-hour lifetime PR just shows, everyone sometimes assumes that you gotta be smashing, mashing, crushing hills to do well at longer duration stuff. When it's like, nah, man, your power's gonna be the best when you just don't fatigue as much and save those matches. And you know, these are the types of rides when if he's getting into gravel, or even if he's just using this as a long endurance ride to build up that mitochondria and the muscles, there's so many benefits to this. And you don't have to go 5 hours. You can go 4 hours, do whatever is the long ride to you. But you know, this is a phenomenal breakthrough. And I think once he rests and comes back and we start hitting things differently, you know, I didn't do anything crazy with this guy. It was, you know, we're in April, he's in Canada, so it's cold. Build the aerobic foundation, lift weights, manage the amount of time that he can ride because he's inside a lot because of the weather. Do some FTP work as we're coming out of that phase, whether it be, you know, the over-unders, whether it be some of the high torque. Do a little bit of VO2 max. I don't need to throttle him yet. He doesn't have races coming up yet. Things are getting canceled up there. But keep everything aerobic and keep building and keep the person excited and stoked about training. And they're gonna go into a third week sometimes and just blow the doors off, and they're gonna be amazed. And when I say they, it's gonna be you. You can do this. And I helped him. This is all him. He is so consistent day after day after day after day. We've been only working together since October. So it's like you can October, November, December, January, February, March, 7 months. There are people out there that say, oh, you can't change an athlete in a year. I think that's not true. Give me 8 months and you can make breakthroughs for sure. A lot of times it's stripping away the bad habits and just reinstilling good ones. Ride your bike, don't coast. Ride more endurance, don't sprint all the time. Use tempo and threshold appropriately. Don't overkill the VO2 max, but use the VO2 max. And a lot of people don't need to be going super hard unless they have races coming up. Like, this is an aerobic sport. So I just want to share this because it should motivate you that you can totally make massive breakthroughs. And I don't know, I love seeing this for athletes. It's just awesome. So anyways, I hope this motivates you to set up your plan, ask yourself what you're doing, you know, understand the point. We always say in a bike race, why are you pedaling, right? Like, if you're not pedaling to accomplish something in a bike race, you need to be conserving. You should know why you're pedaling in every cycling session. What are you doing, right? The group ride might be to just go be social. I'm pedaling for mental freshness. I wanna go see my friends. Cool, but know that that's what it's accomplishing. It's not training you physiologically for the most part. That's, you know, you could be learning skills, tactics, using certain efforts that you might dig deeper with around other people for sure than by yourself, but that's a whole other podcast. Good work to this dude. Keep crushing it, everybody. Let's get it.